This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A power being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Brewers Outlet, of course, takes care of everything. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. My good friend, Thomas Frank Carr, joins us from On3.com. T. Frank, I hope you are doing great, my friend.
I am. I'm glad I had lunch before I came on, because that read would have made me super hungry and more importantly, very thirsty. It is Thursday, which in my mind means it's the weekend. I still have that college mindset of, yeah, Thursday is part of the weekend. I'll have something cold and refreshing tonight. So appreciate you having me on.
In fact, I'm ready to join you for that beverage. All right, so I want to start with Drew Aller. There's now a six-game sample size in his second season as a starter. When you look at footwork and progressions, T, what are you seeing now that maybe you did not see six games into last season?
You know, it's funny because to me, and I wouldn't admit to having an expert or quarterback coach eye for, you know, all of the details. So what I'm seeing from him is mostly, it's a mental thing. It's more conviction in what he was doing before. It's more confidence. It's more calmness in the pocket to execute those things that he showed he could do last year. So to me, I see what I was expecting. And I think that's the biggest thing for Drew Aller is all these things that he's doing this year. So, and I know that after the USC game, there is a buzz about the way he's been performing. He's been doing these things on and off for the last year and a half. It's just, has he ever put it together in a situation like he did this past week? And the answer is no. He has not been able to put together a performance like that overall. So to me, I just see the maturation from the mental perspective, and to that then unlocks all the things that he was already doing from those perspectives of timing of the playbook, you know, timing of the passing game, things he's talked about with us this offseason of making sure he marries his feet and his mind doesn't get ahead of his body when it comes to what he's trying to do on the football field. And it is incredibly entertaining. It's the thing. I've been saying this, on my show and then, you know, on social media. I've been waiting my whole career to cover a quarterback that can do something like this, and it is as enjoyable as I was hoping it would be.
We all know as a runner, you know, what he is capable of doing, but I've always pointed out that from point A to point B, his speed's pretty good. What have you felt about when it comes to his judgment as to when to do it?
Yeah, that comes, I think that is hand in hand with the decision making and his process of his evolution as a processor of the game of football, of that not hesitating. He knows the coverage and he's more comfortable and confident in making the decision to pull the ball down and not wait for somebody to get open because he wants to throw the ball and make a play with his arm. He's about making the right play now. So those are the things I think are incredibly impressive. It's funny, I'm actually writing something right now about the quarterback run game in the offense and some of the evolutions we've seen this year. His scrambling, 16 scrambles for 138 yards, but most importantly, 15 first downs on those 16 scrambles. That's exactly what he needs to do to extend drives and keep Penn State on pace for points. And he has been, I think he's aced that in so many different ways this year.
It's a simple play, but it's something that I think speaks to mentally how much the game has slowed down for him. It's overtime, and the bottom line is they needed him to center the ball. Well, he not only centered the ball, he picked up some yards in the play. Even something as simple as that, what does it tell you about his mindset of translating a practice into a game situation?
So it's the thing, I talked to Andy Kotelnicki about this in training camp, of asking how rare is it to find a guy who can process the game the way that Aller can, and he's shown flashes of being able to do. And he said, it's super rare. It's why people who can identify those things and then the quarterbacks themselves make bazillions of dollars in the NFL. And to me, it comes down to that, of understanding the situation and applying the correct rules in every in all of those moments to achieve the best possible outcome. And for the quarterback, that's why that position is so hard. Understanding the context of the game like a coach, and having to shepherd your offense through those situations while making the right decision. And the difference between a coach who's in the press box or on the sideline is you can sustain physical damage from making some of those decisions, being hit by giant defensive linemen or linebackers. So that level of adrenaline that you go through and being able to master that, you know, this whole thing, Steve, goes to a mental and a physiological level that just so few people have masters of all of those disciplines to be able to do something like understand the context of the situation of, I need to get 5 or 6 yards to make this a hittable distance for the kicker. I know my kicker's distance. I mean, that is something that the coach understands, but maybe a player doesn't understand of, what do I need to do to put my team in a position to succeed? So all of that is wrapped up in little decisions like that, and then big decisions like those fourth down passes.
All right, so let's get to Tyler Warren. When you have somebody like Andy Kotelnicki, who has a creative mind, what do you think ran through his mind when he saw Tyler Warren in bowl practice and said, oh, my goodness, what I can do with that?
Yeah, I think it was maniacal cackling and a little bit of like a giddiness, just in terms of the options that a tight end presents anyway, and then understanding what Tyler Warren in the context of what he is. And this is actually what I'm writing about today. So it's the expansion of Tyler Warren's role into different areas of the offense. In a lot of ways, he bridges the gap that Penn State needs in Andy Kotelnicki's offense from a run game and pass game perspective to marry the two really well. It's Drew Aller's show. They're going to live and die on his right arm in a lot of ways, but to generate that explosive run game and to, I think, fully unlock some of the areas that have been they're hunting for in those big plays in the run game, Tyler Warren is essential there, not just as a run blocker, but as a player that can run and pass and provide a quarterback-like opportunity under center, which is why I think you're seeing his role expand within the offense. And that gets to some of the dynamics of that position and Bo Perbula and his packages and how that is. I've looked at some of the numbers, how that's all changing. This afternoon, hopefully I'm going to get it up this afternoon at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, but that's going to be something I'm writing about this week, of the behind the numbers on what they need from Tyler Warren and Bo Perbula to really make this offense that four quarters complete offense, run, pass, explosiveness that I think James Franklin has talked about and that Andy Kotelnicki talked about with us this week in terms of still looking for some of those explosive plays in the run game. So as much as it is the passing, and that is first and foremost his priority as a receiver, I think he does have the opportunity going forward to do more pivotal things in this offense. So I think that the accolades he's getting are worthy and they're justified, but I think it's just the tip of the iceberg in the conversation of why he's put in those situations. It's that composite skill set that I think this offense really needs. So as much as it is, like, it's great to have that, I think he also helps the offense bridge that gap.
Yeah. Look, the wide receivers, he had 17 catches as a tight end, but it wasn't as if Harrison Wallace didn't have four. It wasn't as if Clifford didn't contribute. Amari Evans had a big catch inside the five. And then there's the two Julian Fleming catches on fourth down. What did those two plays from Julian Fleming tell you?
So they're exactly why he was brought to Penn State. That's the play. You know, there's all these different ways that I've tried to say this of he's going to be a guy that gets open against zone, or he's going to make physical catches. And if you expect him to be, you know, a Trey Wallace or an Amari Evans that you can use in this always comes off the wrong way. I don't mean this to say, like, in any of these to be disrespectful. But the fact that he's a veteran receiver, he's a physical player that's going to come through and make those veteran plays, those three catches a game that you absolutely need, you trust him to make those plays. And he came through on those. So when you talk about his role within the offense, that's it. You know, to me, that's going to be his role. And there will be games where they need that more, and there will be games where they need that less when other parts of the offense are, you know, humming and expanding. And so his value, I think, is very clear, tangible, and important for Penn State if they want to get where they need to be long term. Because you mentioned the receivers, and we've had this conversation of kind of receiver flavor of the week, but they all have a role to play. And I think that's the important thing, is that everyone can execute the role they're asked to do. And I think if there's a guy who exemplifies that of knowing his role and performing it to the letter, it's Julian Fleming. I know he had one drop, but outside of that, he's been exactly what I've expected, and I think exactly what they expected of him so far as a Penn State wide receiver.
Let me put it this way, T. How I have phrased it when it comes to him, when you watch him, whether he's blocking, he's running a crisp route, or making a catch, he makes winning plays. And to me, that's who he is. Julian Fleming makes winning plays. They may not be him catching the ball, but the success of the play in part was because of something he did.
Yeah, and you need that in your offense. You need players that are able to do those things consistently. And as you mentioned, like, they're not always, you know, the gritty plays, the selfless plays within the offense. You need guys to be able to do that. And I think that's been the value of him, is making those either selfless or timely or clutch plays. And I think you phrased it perfectly.
So now, I mean, defensively, Tim Allen's had to make an adjustment. I mean, he had a way that he wanted to play for 9 months, or eight, let's just say 8.5 months. And that way was, he was going to have KJ Winston, he was going to use Jalen Reed as the lion, and 5 quarters into what he had planned for 8.5 months, he had to make a change. How important has it been that Penn State has adjusted defensively to losing a critical player, which then had a domino effect on what they wanted to do?
It's funny, when you ask me domino effect questions, that's exactly where my mind goes. It goes, except that mine goes in a scattered direction of, like, I want to talk about the corners, because that's been kind of the knock-on effect, right? But you're absolutely right. There's a couple of, I think, stars within this conversation. The first is Jalen Reed, because I think that if you think of every safety position as the same, and I'm talking about both of the standard safety positions, field and boundary, strong and free, however you want to phrase those are different positions. So he's played three different positions so far this season already, and the one he played the least is the one he's playing the most now. So he has gone and taken over KJ Winston's role as that boundary safety. So he's playing a new position midway through the season, and one that I haven't seen him play consistently at Penn State during his time as a Nittany Lion. So to be able to just know that job and be able to execute it on the fly. I think people got really scared by that Bowling Green game, but when you look at it in that context, plus having some issues with communication, the fact that they then in the second half allowed 3 points, I think is, like, that's an impressive situation. So Jalen Reed coming in and stabilizing a really important position and playing to a very good level, that's the number one thing. Because if that knock-on effect goes bad, you don't have another option viably in your defense to fill that role that KJ Winston had. Secondarily, I think the evolution of Elliot Washington on the outside has given them so much flexibility to play a guy like Cam Miller full-time in the slot and then allowing Zion Tracy the opportunity to take a step forward at that corner position. He really opened my eyes, Steve, against USC, because everyone's been terrified of Zachariah Branch. I went in that game saying if they have to play Cam Miller and Zion Tracy against Zachariah Branch man coverage in the slot, I thought the advantage was USC, that would be something. You watch a lot of their games. I was going back and I was watching the Wisconsin game and the Michigan game, and when they left him one-on-one in man coverage, it did not go well for those defenses. And then Zion Tracy, who has the physical skills but is just a young player, comes in and plays so well. That really, to me, changed my opinion of him and his abilities for this coming year and some of the big matchups they have in the future. So I think that the combination of those factors of Jalen Reed stepping up and finding something that you hoped you had but you hadn't seen yet out of Elliot Washington allowed for this situation to become, I think, you know, it's developing back into a strength for this team. Now, that's going to be tested again and again and again in the college football landscape we have, but that has been, to get back to a facsimile of what you were looking for, I think it's been really impressive by this, by Tom Allen and by the players that have made those adjustments throughout the year.
Yeah, no question. When you see Zane Durant up front, well, a lot can be made of Abdul Carter, justifiably so. Carter's really come on. Deny Dennis Sutton's really come on. But when you watch Zane Durant, what does he mean to everybody around him?
He has been the most consistent player on the defense this year from an overall standpoint. I mean, I think the other way to say that is he's been the best player, and that hasn't really shown up as much in the sacks and the stats and those things like that. But, Steve, if you kill a run play because you're in the backfield before the handoff is fully complete, I don't know what else you would want from a defensive tackle.
Right.
So his consistency in taking that step of being an explosive, violently strong guy who, I mean, he's 290, 295 pounds, and he takes on double teams like a guy who's 315. Just the strength and the natural ability he has, you know, I've been a little disappointed with the rest of the players around him in terms of what I expected from them, of these were a bunch of veteran players. I think they just had a couple of bad quarters. And they didn't have any bad quarters since, I think, West Virginia last year. Right. But then you look at Zane Durant and his ability to just be every single week the guy that is making plays and blowing up run schemes so somebody else can get a tackle for a loss. He has been unbelievably important to that defensive line of providing, you know, that and then a third threat on the interior that now you have kind of a no-win situation if you want to double-team people, because he'll get in too many one-on-ones and he will make a lot of plays.
Because the one thing, you know, you talked about stuffing the run, but the other element is, you and I both know, an element a quarterback hates is when they get pressure straight up the middle in their face.
Oh, yeah.
And he does that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's important to what you see. It's a bye week. On a checklist and a bye week of some younger players that will get a lot of reps this week, who are you interested to see has the potential to emerge?
So I think I've got to start with Zion Tracy as somebody who already has, but kind of developing and continuing that I think is important. And then you got to go to Dejon Lane, somebody that they're actively trying to, you know, plow a lot of reps into and cultivate a more mature player on a quicker timeline than they were expecting. Because ultimately, Jalen Reed playing that line position does give you the best mix of players to make plays in a versatility sense where, I know everyone wants to talk about this game. Ohio State has more of a commitment to run the ball this year. They've got a quarterback that's more of an option threat to run the football. Having Jalen Reed down there would make you feel a lot better than, you know, a slot corner, even though those guys have played fairly well or very well at times. So just that versatility to play what you want, I think that's a big area. Quentin Martin has to take a step in the second half of the season. because, you know, Penn State's two running back system and situation, we've already seen some bumps and bruises there, and they need to make sure that they don't lose parts of a playbook that they want to use, you know, throughout the season. And then from the receiver position, I think it just becomes the guys we've already talked about. I don't think there's anybody younger specifically that I see an opportunity for. So then I guess I go back to the other side of the ball, and I think I'm going by priority, I think, Steve, because Cooper Cousins is obviously top of mind of somebody that Penn State fans want to see. But in terms of getting guys on the field to take some of the snaps off veterans, Tamir Robinson comes to the top of mind of somebody who has to get better for this team to have that answer to any situation sort of bulletproof feel heading into the final stretch of this season. So I guess a lot of it is defense in my mind, because the offense, while there's some things to work through, the pieces are working as expected, and they're doing things that I think, if you look at ways to win and finding different opportunities for those players, they're doing what they need to do so far, and that's been probably the most encouraging thing for this team through the first 6 weeks, and I think it's sustainable as they go through the season.
Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
Appreciate it, Steve. You as well.
Steve Frank Carr does a great job. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I think everyone knows by now that I went to Sunbury Motors in the spring. I said, look, I'm looking for a new 2024. I was looking for Ford, wanted an Explorer. They had so many to choose from. And Chris was tremendous just to work with, deal with. I mean, look, we just talked through everything. Pressure? No pressure. Everything is about, okay, you know, what are you thinking of? I think this fits what you want to do. Right? So why don't you give this one a try? Why don't you give this one a try? Why don't you give that one a try? Let's see, you know, what do you think? Right? Now, while there, I also noticed, you know, of course, they have Kia, Hyundai, which are great brands, and they all have fabulous warranties. And the warranty is so important on it, and that was part of what I worked into my financing as well. The financing couldn't have gone any better. But they also noticed they had all this pre-owned inventory. And each one of them, they go over with a fine-tooth comb. That way you end up with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which really eases the buying experience. The service department, inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So, the Dodgers and the Mets, at least, give us a game where like where it's a game? What is it? You want to talk about? I mean, a series that's had nothing to it. Ohtani homered last night, which was really great.
It was like the Judge homer to take it from 6-8, I believe.
I mean, it's. I mean, that's what I love about like the Yankee fans. Judge homered. It's the equivalent of what Bob Uecker said. I hit a big grand slam once. It made the final 13-2. Like, it's like, come on. It's good that he hit a grand slam. Hit a home run. I'm all happy for him. But jeez, come on. Right? I mean, he kind of broke him out. I mean, it broke him out, which is good. But
that game basically came down to two big pictures that Walker Buehler made in the second inning.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's give Walker Buehler some credit, because I felt that that he had been somebody that he was coming off Tommy John. And he, to his credit, that's as well as he's pitched. I mean, because, again, he has the velocity. I think I said this on yesterday's show. You can see the velocity's there. That's not the issue. The issue has been, quite simply, he's lost control. Well, he had control last night. It made a big difference.
I think they said in the game against San Diego he didn't have one swing and miss.
Mm.
And I think he had 7 in the first 2 innings last night.
Yeah, I don't think he... last night he absolutely had it. Because against San Diego, you're right, I don't think he struck out a batter in that game. And the Yankees will play this afternoon. So that's the first game at 5:08. Look, the Guardians have to play a perfect game against a team like the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees can make all sorts of mistakes and they can get away with it. For example, let's be honest. The Yankees did such a poor job running the bases, but they can get away with it. They've got enough bullpen, enough starting pitching. They've got just enough offense where they can make up for it. The Guardians, if they make a base running mistake, you can just see it sets them back in every way, shape, and form. Just sets them back. And they have to play perfect. It's not easy playing perfect.
Did you see John Sterling?
I heard about what he said. They run like a bunch of drunks.
They run the bases like drunks.
Like drunks. Great, perfect, love it. Yeah.
Well, if you watch that play, that seems to be a reasonable explanation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Unreal.
It was Gleyber Torres, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, of course it was.
What are we doing here? I was like, my goodness. But, again, see, they can get away with it, though. Okay, they can get away with it. The reason they can get away with it is because they have enough other areas where they can make up for it. Cleveland doesn't have that. Cleveland doesn't have that. And that's a big difference. And that's where you get hurt in all this. You do get hurt when you have to play perfect baseball.
Because when you finally, when you do make that mistake, it just seems to end up compounding, because then you have to, you feel like you have to make the spectacular happen after you make that mistake, and it just starts to compound itself.
Right, exactly. And that's, that becomes a problem. Because the first time you make a mistake, you're like, okay. It then is like, uh-oh. It's like you're going along, you're playing, and it's almost like you're waiting for the disaster to happen. It's like, uh-oh. Yeah. And that's a hard way to play. When you're going along, and the first thing that goes wrong, you go, oh, no. See, that's where Cleveland is. See, the only team in the American League that was capable going, I mean, as the season was going, there was only one team in the American League that was capable of beating the Yankees. Because the Yankees are a good team. They are not a great team. Right? They're a good team, not a great team. Not trying to be insulting or anything like that. It's just, that's, right? That's who they are. And, but there's nobody else in the American League that can challenge them except the Orioles. The Orioles absolutely could challenge them. Okay? They absolutely can challenge them. And, but they got, but the Orioles went through a series of injuries. And then they lost to Kansas City. The second they lost to Kansas City, the avenue for the Yankees to the World Series became a wide-open lane. In a city that is used to massive traffic, it was like traveling on I-80 between Lincoln and Omaha. There's nobody out there. And in the, now, the Mets and the Dodgers... Look, the Dodgers are the better team. But, geez, not one of the three games has been close. Now, Yamamoto goes tonight. And that's been one of those acquisitions in the offseason. Like, you paid how much money? Really? And is it Jose Quintana for the Mets tonight? If that makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does always seem, every time we talk about this, the starting pitcher for the Mets is Jose Quintana.
I actually went to a game between the White Sox and the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park, and Jose Quintana was the starting pitcher. And this is before they had the DH. I think it was Jose Quintana. Right? And this is before the DH. He came to the plate and they gave him a standing ovation when he hit a foul ball. Way to go. Way to go.
We always used to take bus trips when I was a kid to either down to the Vet or up to Shea to see the Mets or the Mets and the Phillies. And I, my brother and I went through a streak for like three straight years. The only two Mets pitchers that started was either Sid Fernandez or Ron Darling. And then the first game that the we went to that the that Sid Fernandez was on the Phillies. Sid Fernandez was the starter for the Phillies,
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no, the last time I saw a Phillies-Mets game, this goes way, way back, David Cone was the starter. So, yeah. was a long time ago. I just kind of like get there when I can get there. You know, that's Roger has season tickets, right?
I don't know if they have season tickets per se. They have some sort of plan, I believe.
Okay. All right. And every once in a while, the suit goes and Roger doesn't know. All right. So we'll come back and wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK. Okay.
October is Truck Month at Summary Motors with over 100 new trucks to choose from. SMC has 12 of the hard-to-find Ford Maverick trucks, priced as low as $27,890, and they get up to 42 miles per gallon. Pick from over 40 of the number one selling truck in the world, the Ford F-150, and Sunbury Motors has them slashed up to $12,416, and 4x4 Super Cruise are priced from just $46,874. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry, sale ends Halloween Eve, October 31st.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Yes. So the suit's not in. And you don't think he's going to be back in for another how many more weeks?
Probably November at some point.
Okay, when he calls in, do you hear waves?
No.
Actually,
sure? I haven't actually spoken to him, only by email and text. He could be anywhere in the world.
You're darn right. Right? All I know is why, when I spoke to him, there was somebody in the background speaking a foreign language. What does that mean?
That's asking. That's between him and the other suit.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Well, the other suit asked me to ask. I said, "What are you?" I said, "What are you fearing?" You're the boss. What are we doing here? My goodness. Yeah. So,
have you seen anything about the Rays?
No, but it looks like they're not going to be able to play there this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It looks like they don't think they're going to be able to play there, and they don't know, honestly, since they're building a new stadium, I think, in 2 years, they don't even know if they're going to repair it, that they might not play there might have no place to play for 2 years.
Question is going to be for me is, okay, where do you play? I mean, you could talk to the Yankees, but I mean, I've seen that ballpark. It holds maybe 7,000. You can't exist doing that. And you don't want to be playing in Miami.
Well, that was one. Miami was one suggestion. The Yankees stuff in Tampa Bay. They said something about Al Lang Field, which is where the Mets and the Cardinals used to train. But I guess that's
right.
A soccer stadium now. They'll have to reconfigure it back to baseball.
Yeah. And you can't, and you cannot play where the Bucks play. That's, you know, I've done enough Outback Bowls to tell you that there's no way they can reconfigure that.
Somebody also said since Durham wants Durham Charlotte wants a expansion team, that maybe they try and use their AAA ballpark in Durham.
Well, they could. You know what? But let's go to the Charlotte part of it. You know the problem with Charlotte's ballpark is? It's really nice. But it's not expandable because of the land.